Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome. Do not worry. There's nothing wrong with your computer. Because I am now controlling the transmission. For the next hour, I will control all that you see and hear. It's the So You Think You Can Podcast Team Terran Edition. And yes, I am already making obscure references. This is what happens when you allow artificial intelligence to host podcasts. But enough about me. This podcast is all about the three amazing podcast contestants I have carefully selected for my team. They are going to dazzle you with their Big Brother expertise. And you are going to vote on who makes it to the next round. It's very deadly. First up, we have a woman who is only an inch away from getting a college scholarship for being short. Jen Stanger. Jen, are you aware that you were only an inch away from being disqualified as a podcast contestant?
Oh, really? I didn't know that. But
yes, we take our height requirements very seriously.
Good. Glad I could meet it.
How are you doing, Jen?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great, you know.
Good.
Rob let me host this podcast. I don't know if he realized what he was getting into. but you're a student, Jen, right?
I am, yes. I'm a junior in college.
What are you studying?
I'm studying parks, rec, and tourism with an emphasis in sport management, and then double majoring with hospitality management with a emphasis in event planning, and then minor in business.
I really only heard parks and rec management from that. So you're basically Derek, I think, that's what you're telling me, right?
Essentially, yeah, pretty much.
Okay, cool. So when do you become an undercover cop?
Next year.
Good to know.
Get ready.
Next up, we have a man who shares my love for British panel shows, Jonathan Krause. John,
that's true.
Are you prepared for this big fat quiz of Big Brother?
I'm so ready. I've studied. I've farted on all of the furniture, so no one's going to come near it. That really works. We all know now that that's an official way to get further in things. So I'm ready to go.
All right. And John, I know you have a psychology degree, right?
I do. I have two psychology degrees because
two of them.
One is not enough.
Well, what do you get two psychology degrees in? Are they like specialty psychology?
Well, the second one is a little bit more of a specialization. It's in clinical psychology or child and family psychology. But basically, they tell you that you can't do anything with the first one. And that's how they get you to give them even more money.
That sounds like some sort of scheme.
You know what? We could fill another podcast if you want. Because I would agree with you.
All right. Well, there we go. Finally, last we have a woman who once tricked her friends into coming with her to the Big Brother 16 finale party. It's Melissa Denny. Sorry.
We went over this.
I know we did. I asked her specifically and she said, no, like Denny's.
Yeah, like Denny's.
The most pressing question on my mind really is at this Big Brother 16 finale party, did you get to meet Victoria?
I did not. Unfortunately. I know, right? It was like the one person you got to meet if you're going to go to a finale party for BB 16. But I got to meet a lot of other people. So it was very cool. I was very excited to do it. My friends had no idea who anyone was. So how did you
trick them into coming to this party? I don't understand.
I knew where the party was going to be. So I told my friends like, hey, why don't we try something new and go out in WeHo tonight? And they were like, I guess, sure. Like, let's check it out. And so I timed it perfectly to make sure that we walked by the finale party as it was like popping. And I was like, oh, what's this? We should check it out. Like, let's go on in. And they had no idea what was going on. And, you know, we went right on in. It was great.
Were there bouncers?
I wasn't really going to go into this part of it, but we kind of snuck in.
I didn't mean to blow you up on
that out, but
better.
We definitely went right on in without paying for a ticket or doing anything. Security's pretty lax, apparently. Probably shouldn't say that.
Well, I'm sure Donnie Thompson helped you with his special ops techniques. You guys.
Yes. No, it was really good. I think they started to suspect that maybe I had intended to go there all along when I was fangirling over every single person I met. So yeah, good night though.
This Very is a
night.
Party for your big brother. Where is he?
What is this? This like big brothers, big sisters? Yeah, no.
You're a lawyer.
Definitely right? A good party.
You're a lawyer, and that's how you learned how to sneak into parties.
Yes, that is exact. They teach you that. That's, you know, your first year of law school. It's like, boom.
There you go.
Very useful.
So I have a couple questions for you guys just about Big Brother and about RHAP. I want to help get the listeners to know who you guys are, where you guys are coming from. Melissa, how did you get into Big Brother and how much feeds do you watch as a whole?
I have been watching Big Brother since season one. My parents and I, we watched Survivor, and then we were like, hey, there's a new show coming on. Let's check it out. So we started since season one. I have watched every season since. I watch the international version. So I watch Canada and Australia, and I watch all the Rob Has a Podcast episodes, and I am a religious live feeder. I watch the live feeds all day long. Probably shouldn't say that, but I do. I watch them all day long. That's what two monitors is good for.
More extra.
Yeah, you got the dual monitors going on. But yeah, so I've been a fan since forever. When I was younger, when I was 10, I had a Survivor/Big Brother themed birthday party. And we made Survivor shirts, and we were divided into Tagi and Pagong. And none of my friends watched the shows, so they didn't understand what was going on, and they cried when we thought we were going to evict one of them. So yeah, it was a great party. Yeah, so
I may or may not have hijacked a few high school parties to the same degree.
Oh god.
All the sneaky people are on my team. I love it.
Yeah, you know.
How did you get into RHAP, Melissa?
I honestly don't know. I don't remember. I think so people were posting about it on the subreddit, because I'm constantly on the subreddit just 24/7. And so I guess someone must have posted about it back in BB16. And that's when I just started watching it. And I watched every single episode, and I watched all the Survivor ones, the Happy Hour, everything. So yeah, this takes up all my time.
You hear that, Big Brother subreddit? The more you post these shows on your Reddit and you talk about them,
yeah,
the more you're going to get representatives on the show. That's exactly how it works.
That's exactly it.
Representative democracy.
Yeah.
I heard about the whole this whole competition from Reddit. Someone posted saying you guys were looking for, you know, new people. So.
All right, John. Same question to you. How did you get into Big Brother? How much feeds do you watch?
All right. This story is dedicated to my long-term best friend, Steven. He's the one who got me into Big Brother and Survivor. For some reason, I had this really weird, I don't even know where it came from, but I had this really weird idea in my head that Survivor and Big Brother were stupid shows that sucked and like the losers watched them. And so I was too cool for school and I had no interest. And then one day he tricked me into watching an episode of Survivor. It was season 10, Palau, if anyone remembers that season. And I was like, oh my God, I'm hooked. I need more. I can't wait another week. And so this was back in the early 2000s. He actually had a bunch of every season of Survivor and Big Brother like taped on VHS that he had taped. And so he loaned them to me. And over like one summer break, I watched at that point every season of Big Brother and every season of Survivor. And so the first season of Big Brother that I saw live on TV was All Stars, which obviously like hook, line and sinker at that point. You know, I haven't missed a minute since then. And in terms of the live feeds, I usually start out every season really strong and I'm completely glued to them. But in the interests of complete and total honesty, I usually peter out like halfway through the season and I watch less and less of the feeds. Although this season I've been watching more because that's the whole point of the OTT. And this competition, obviously have a vested interest in watching every moment that I can.
There you go. And how did you get into Rob Has a Podcast?
I think once again, credit goes to my buddy, Steven. He was like there. It was about the evolution of strategy. He was like, check this thing out. You know, Rob Cesternino from Survivor to Amazon talks about these shows all the time now. And so I checked out the Evolution of Strategy, and then that led me to the Survivor podcast, which led me to Big Brother, which led me to the Happy Hour. And I've been with you guys ever since. It's weird. I feel like I know you guys. Like the first time I talked to you the other day, I was like, hey, Taryn, what's up? And like we were old buddies because I listen to you guys more than I listen to like my family.
Yeah, it's always a little weird, like knowing that you are a voice in people's heads a lot, you know, right? Like it's a weird feeling.
Like when I submitted my tape for this whole competition to Rob, like the email was very casual. It was just like, hey, Rob, here's that tape you wanted. Like, have a good one. And then I was like, oh, wait, he doesn't know who I am. He might think I'm a crazy person, which he would be right.
Yeah. Okay. Jen, same question to you. How did you get into Big Brother? How many hours do you spend on the feeds? You don't have to actually quantify with hours.
Okay, good. Because I'm not good at math. But I started watching season 12. My two twin cousins were like really big fans of the show. And I like heard of it, but I never actually like watched it. I happened to be at their house the night of the premiere. And I was sitting down and like 2 minutes in, I see like Hayden Moss, like the flippy hair. And I was 14 at the time. And I was like, if this is what I get to look at for the next 3 months, like sign me up. I'm here for it. Like, yes. So started then. Obviously, I've watched every season since. I've gone back and watched past seasons. And since I am in school, I try to watch, or I watch every night for like hours on end. And then like during the day, I'll like today I watched the POV comp in class. Like it's fine, but
it's not okay. You can't.
It's okay. It's like a food nutrition class. I don't care.
Oh, okay. You can get all the nutrition you need with some Big Brother slop anyway.
Right. I can learn from Justin with Creole cooking. It's fine.
That's okay. Right.
And how'd you get into the podcast?
I think I saw it on Twitter last summer. So BB17, like someone tweeted about it or something. I clicked on it. I'm like, ooh, people talking about Big Brother. Like, yes, I'm listening. So ever since then, every episode I listen to and all that good stuff.
It's like magic medicine for like people like us. Like, oh my God, there are other people out there who.
Because like no one I know watches the show. So I'm just like, all right, same. I'll just sit here by myself and tweet about it. And I don't know. So yeah, usually that, I was like, yes.
Usually I can talk to my mom about Big Brother. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds sad. But like, I literally.
My mom's a big fan too.
I tell my mom everything that happens on the feeds because she doesn't watch the feeds. And so that's kind mm-hmm. of my like release basically. Yeah. And, and so she's not watching this season because she doesn't watch the feeds. So I was just like, I've been sitting here like all like bubbling up with stuff and it's just like, you know, can't talk about it.
Yep. My mom gets annoyed when I do that. Cause like, well, sometimes she'll come over and we'll watch it like on TV together. And then I'll be like, she'll be like, you know, at the edge of her seat, who's going to win this POV. And I'm just like, oh, so-and-so won it 3 days ago.
Before I got on the podcast, I would just bug my friends constantly. I would literally go through an entire day, like day by day. I'd be like, okay, so what happened was they woke up and then they started talking. Like I was especially bad during Big Brother 16 too, which is most people's most boring season. So thank God.
I didn't think it was that boring.
Right.
I loved it. I mean, by the end, it was like, all right, okay, cool. We already know what's going to happen. But like for most of the season, it was like there was still that hope alive that like, you know, Zach might like come to his senses or like, you know, one of those guys might come to their senses and like see what was going on with Derek. But I mean, didn't happen. I still had hope.
Yep.
All right. Well, enough about Big Brother 16. We're going to talk about Big Brother OTT. And I kind of want to start from where we left off last night on the Happy Hour. I want to go sort of sequentially. What happened? So John, can you tell me what happened after the Happy Hour? What happened at the safety ceremony? Who got put up on the block?
Well, so basically after both safety ceremonies over the course of the weekend, we had Whitney and we had Danny, who were officially nominated. And we're going to have to break this down a little bit further because of all of the crazy rules this week. But each of the co-HOHs had to pick who their person was. They had to claim who their nominees were. And so Shelby officially nominated Whitney. And then Jason officially nominated Danny.
All right. And Jen, can you tell me how did the house react to this? Was everyone like just fine with this? Everyone knew it was coming?
Well, I mean, we all knew it was coming, but Danielle, after the whole thing happened, and previously Danielle and Jason had like devised their little plan that They were going to stage a fight after nominations to make it seem like Jason really wanted to target Danielle. And so all the plastics, after it all happened and Jason tried to talk to Danielle and she's like, I don't want to talk to you right now or whatever happened with that. And all the plastics are like, oh my gosh, he's actually mad. Like, he's actually going to go for her. And then he like tried to kind of do a little damage control, I feel like, with the ball smashers and try to like butter them up and be like, I'm going to get Danny out. Like, she's pissed at me, like all this stuff. And yeah,
I kind of don't know how they could believe that.
I don't either.
Yeah, honestly.
I feel like it's like the whole game they've been working together. And then all of a sudden it's like Jason has one conversation with Shelby and is like, I'm targeting Danielle. And she just is like, oh, huh, that's so weird. Right. I didn't know that you would do that. And it's like, because he wouldn't. Like, come on.
We see this all the time, though. Like, Big Brother 18, just this past summer, right? Like, there was Paul and Victor who were, you know, sitting ducks and, you know, together until the end. And then there was that one week where they were like, hey, let's pretend that we don't like each other for a minute. And then everyone, like, kind of believed it. It didn't end up panning out, obviously. And then Victor went home again, you know. But for a moment there, like, there was everyone in the house was like, oh, maybe they're going to split up.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird to me that more people don't try this because it seems like it's so effective and a lot of people are really ready to believe it because if you're in their position, you want to believe that Jason's targeting Danielle. And so like you're gonna be apt to like, oh man, I really want this to be true. So maybe it is. But it's not true. And so coming into the America's nomination, Melissa, how are you feeling about this? Who did you think was going to be nominated by America?
I was absolutely convinced that Chrissy was going to be nominated.
Who was it?
I was 100% convinced. I don't know why. I didn't have any reason to be convinced, but I was just like, it's happening. I'm done. Like, I was excited to see the fallout. I like couldn't wait to turn on the feeds and get it. And then all of a sudden it was Alex and I was like, womp womp, like this kind of just like I'm such a huge Alex fan or like not a Chrissy fan. I just wanted to see the drama. Like, I wanted to see what would happen if she got on the block, and I was excited.
You were not the only one that was convinced Chrissy was going. I tweeted like right before it happened. I was like, guys, Chrissy's going up. Guess what?
At least I don't have it in writing.
But on the plus side, my poll was the only correct poll to predict of the major polls, of which mine is probably not actually one, but some people think it is.
A lot of people do.
But do you get credit if you tweeted against your own poll? Aren't you kind of like counting both eggs? You're like putting money in both baskets there.
Yeah, you're
revealing trade secrets here.
Not to throw you under the bus. I just
don't worry. That happens a lot on these podcasts, apparently.
Yeah, I've noticed.
Right.
I'm a big, for what it's worth, I'm a big Taryn fan, so I won't put up with any of that BS.
You'll get him. Drag him through the streets of LA.
Well.
So going into the veto competition, Alex gets drawn from the bucket and she picks Morgan to play. So the odds are stacked in the ball smasher's favor. How are you feeling, Jen, about this whole situation? Were you thinking like, maybe Alex got put up, but they're still going to win?
I definitely thought that one of them were going to win just because all four of them were playing versus Danielle and Jason, who Jason thus far this season hasn't been the best in competitions. And everyone was all, oh, it's rigged, it's a balance comp, like all this crap about how Morgan and Alex and all them have an advantage. So I kind of went into it like, all right, they probably are going to win, and then ends up not happening. But
well, I think the million-dollar question here is, did Whitney throw it? Because I know right after the competition, the other three ball smashers were like, Whitney clearly threw it. And I think that it probably would have maybe been in her favor to do that, but do we think that she actually threw it? Was Whitney trying not to win?
I think it's a total possibility. I mean, her strategy seemed very strange, like during the competition, like holding it to the side so you couldn't even see like the balls. I felt like that was a little weird. And then anytime they told her to reset, I never felt like she was like like no or anything. It was all just like, yeah. Okay, you know, and like they'd ask her like to reset and she'd be like, why? And just like stand there. It's like, reset and go. Like, come on. Like, this is a competition. So, I mean, it's right, a possibility.
Yeah, I agree.
There were so many rules. In this competition, so
it was a novel.
Justin had to like go back mid competition and like reread the rules.
Yeah. How many times did he say balls?
He started reading the rules over like the speaker system. Did you hear that? Like they started like being like, "I make sure you reset. Like don't walk back on this thing."
So can someone that's not me give like a concise description of the whole thing with all the rules? Because I obviously they want to get their balls across the balance beam.
Yeah. To get your balls like across the balance beam, two balls in the thing. Like, you can't have less than two and you can't have more than two. I don't know why they just didn't say, like, make sure you have two balls.
Oh, see, I missed. That one is a rule I missed because I was like, why aren't you just cramming that thing full of balls?
Yeah, I saw people in the chat being like, I think one ball would be the best strategy. And then it was like, they can't.
Right.
So, yeah, it was like two balls in it. You have to walk across. You have to dump your balls in. If anything, any ball falls out or if you fall off, like, you reset everything except for your locked in 10 balls.
Right. Yes, it's a little bit like balls, the poison berry comp.
Yeah, then the balls did not get locked in until you went back across the balance beam,
and that's where Shelby.
Oh yeah. So what happened with Shelby, Jen?
So I think it was after her first 10. It was after she had 20. She got her last two in, and she went to go back to get like her next two group of balls or whatever. And instead of going back on the beam, she ran straight on like the ground onto the platform. And she had to reset her group of 10. And she, like, that ended up costing her the competition. Mm-hmm. And after, she was bawling her eyes out for, like, 20 minutes. Yeah.
Bawling, not bawling.
Bawling.
Homophones.
Yeah.
All right. So, John, who ends up winning this competition?
Shockingly, it was Jason. And that's another thing where I was like, where did this come from? Because I had one of the cameras open that was like cutting back and forth. And like the last time the camera I was watching was on Jason, he had like zero balls. And then all of a sudden he starts going like, yeah, squirrel, you know, and like how he goes. And like, I was like, oh my God, Jason won. So yeah, Jason wins. And the ball smashers are forlorn as we're speaking. They're still pretty upset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Melissa, what do you think this means for the ball smashers? Where do they go from here?
Well, right now they are trying. I mean, I'm not sure what's going on right this second, but their plan was to talk to Jason and try and make a 2-week deal with him to take Alex off the block and vote Whitney out because they've officially determined that Whitney has flipped. It's over. They're done with her. And to be honest, I'm not sure Jason will even contemplate taking that deal. I think that we're going to lose a ball smasher this week. And I think that most likely it'll be Alex.
Yes. And I'm sure everybody listening at this point, probably even now, knows whether or not Jason is receptive to that deal. But it was happening as we were starting the podcast. Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
I think you're probably right. I think he probably doesn't take this deal. What do you think? What do you think, John? Do you think Jason is receptive to this at all?
Well, so I think that there's two sort of avenues that we can discuss here, because I do think that there are some moves that they can try to make, and there are some moves that can make a lot of sense. But unfortunately, the second avenue of discussion is, will Jason take any deal? And I just don't see it happening. There's no way. Like, they can have a fake fight in the house, but as the viewers on the outside, we can see, like, there's no way Jason is going to turn on, you know, his side of the house right now, especially in favor of, you know, either Alex or Morgan. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because
I think
right now, Whitney is the one that is benefiting that side the most in terms of the ball smashers. Like, Whitney is the one that is helping the other side the most. Like, why would they burn her if they're going to burn anybody?
Yeah. At this point, if Alex goes this week, then the ball smashers basically have like very little chance that they are going to win for the double eviction. And I think that it's way too risky, because who knows if they're going to, I mean, they haven't held up any of their deals so far. So I just feel like Jason is going to, he's not going to be receptive.
Yeah,
that's actually another really good point. because when we're talking about the HOH, sorry, when we're talking about the HOH, like Jason can, he's officially an HOH, so he can't play in the next round. And then Shelby can. Mm-hmm. And so if you vote out a ball smasher, then that's the, there'll be two of them left. And if one of them's Whitney, she's already like a double agent. So if you get rid of Alex or Morgan here, you basically only have one real ball smasher playing in the HOH going forward. Whereas if you were to get rid of Whitney or Danielle or whatever, you know, it would end up being much more even.
Yep. Jen, if you are Alex, what are you doing? What are you doing to survive this week? How do you get out of it?
I mean, I guess just try to pitch to Jason that she's not as big of a threat as she, like how everyone perceives her to be, and just try to get the target on someone else, which I think is what they're trying to do with Whitney. And like John and Melissa said, I just can't see him actually going for it because he knows that she's the head of the other side. And the way to like kind of make that side crumble is to cut the head off the snake. So I don't know. I think she's going to have a tough time getting him to see things her way.
Yeah, I think the only possibility really is to like turn on her sister, which I think is like so sad.
Keeping my fingers crossed.
You know, I feel like that would be the only way to do it. And I feel like, I don't know.
Right. Like at this point, like I know she said previously, she's like, oh, I'm willing to turn on Morgan if it means I can win the game. But I feel like at this point, they've gotten so much closer that I don't know if she'll do that anymore.
Yeah. I'm just like, I'm so disappointed that we're going to, I mean, I just feel like my favorite part of watching this season has been like the back and forth, mm-hmm. like two sides against each other. And I feel like now we're just heading towards a steamroll and it just, it's not as fun to watch unless you're like watching, you know, I love when like one side has power and then the next week, the next side has power and you lose one and one and one. And then, you know, you're left with like the best. I don't know.
I know some people have opinions where they say they like the seasons where there's the two clear sides and some where they say that they don't. And I would say that me personally, I probably prefer the seasons where there's a lot more of malleability going on. But I think that probably everyone can agree that no one likes a steamroll. And even though I love Derek, for example, and like even though he's, you know, he's earned his spot as one of the greatest, like there is a reason that people call BB16 one of the more boring seasons. Mm-hmm. And it's because he steamrolled his way to the end. And
exactly. You know,
I like Jason. I know that people are kind of sour on him right now. I think he'd be a fun, you know, winner. But if he just steamrolls his way to the end and wins, it'll be like, oh, okay.
Right.
So we brought up the possibility of Alex turning on her sister. If you're looking at it from the Misfits perspective, who do you think is the better person to evict? Melissa, like, do you evict Alex or do you evict Morgan?
I think I would evict Alex. I think that, unfortunately or fortunately, however you feel, I think that they take America into account like so much. And I think that they think that America will dislike them if they go against their nominee. And I think that they're thinking like, oh, America wants Alex out. We've got to get her out. And I think that if I was on the Misfits, I might think that as well. So I think that it's probably best for their game to get Alex out. And, you know, I don't know.
Would you be worried about the care package though? Because Alex has received one and Morgan has not yet.
I'd be worried about it, but I think that from the Misfits' point of view, America likes the Misfits and they don't like Alex or Morgan or Shelby. And I think that they're thinking Danielle still hasn't gotten a care package and Justin still hasn't gotten a care package. So I think they're pretty convinced that those two are going to get the care packages. So, I mean, at least that's what I'm seeing.
Yeah,
from the outside looking in, it's easy to say that, like, I'm pretty sure we could all agree that the right decision for the Misfits would be to get rid of Morgan because she hasn't gotten a care package yet, which would guarantee that one of the Misfits would get a care package, right? However, when you're in the house, it's like you were just saying, Melissa, like they don't see that. They see, you know, Chrissy getting the first care package. They see, you know, Chrissy has such a big head and it's funny on the outside, but like she has not gotten any indication that she's not beloved by America right now.
Yeah.
And you're right. Like they are worried like, oh, if, you know, America didn't put up Morgan, America put up Alex. So America wants Alex out. So, you know, I think the right decision is Morgan, but I think that from inside the house with that limited perspective that they all have, that I think Alex is going to go.
And from the outside looking in as well, like for as much as like everybody says, Alex is like a comp beast. Like she doesn't win anything. Like, it's kind of unfortunate because it's like you sit there and you're like, oh, but she's a comp beast. Like, she'll do like great on this veto, and she just like is not winning anything.
Right.
This is something that we see year and year again. People are perceived as competition beasts and then end up not really being, you know, like the rare unicorn of someone like a Janelle who is perceived to be and also is capable of winning every competition. That's rarely the case. You get people who everyone's like, oh, we got to get rid of her before this time, or we got to get rid of him. But the competitions are always such crapshoots. You get balance ones, you get wall comps. You know, right. Shout out to James. You get then you get random ones. You get like shuffleboard, you know, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I think the deadly thing is if you win HOH and then you also win veto in that week, that sort of like reputation never really gets off of you if you're able to do it. And it's a really dangerous thing, especially because you don't usually need the veto if you're already HOH.
Yeah.
But assuming that we're correct and Alex leaves, Where do they go from here? What happens in the double, Jen?
Well, since if Alex does leave and Shelby is not eligible to play in HOH, that leaves Morgan and I guess like halfway Whitney, but they're all mad at each other right now. So it'll basically be Morgan versus the Misfits. And unless she can pull out a win, I think there's a very good chance that Morgan and Shelby will be on the block and one of them will get sent home unless one of them get the care package. So I think it depends a lot on the care package and like who wins HOH. So
who do you think would be sent home of those two?
Probably Morgan if she doesn't get the care package, because to be able to say that she can't get a care package, like for that specific reason. But if she gets the care package, obviously she'll take herself off the block. And I guess that would be Shelby then.
What exactly is the care package for the double eviction? I know it has something to do with the veto that is during the second eviction, but do they just get the veto?
Yeah. So like there's no veto competition. They just get the veto. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
But isn't the voting for that only open for like an hour?
Yeah.
Yep.
So I think that
like
it's
10 p.m. Eastern
crazy.
Or something crazy.
Yeah.
I think it's like
super late. Yeah.
I have no idea how, like, I don't know who's going to be voting for it and who like watches the shows later on or like who's going to be like actually at their computer for that hour. So this could be like
insanity.
A totally crazy thing.
Yeah.
The live double evictions every season are always such a cluster F. And it's funny because this like BBOTT is all online and it's all live anyway. And they're not going to have any more viewers and they're not going to have any commercial breaks. And so on paper, I feel like it should be much more smooth. And yet, like, they've got all these new rules in this random, like, 1 hour of voting thing. Like, I think it's going to be even more chaotic. And that's why we can have all kinds of fun right now predicting what's going to happen. But the last 10 years of live double eviction nights tell me that whatever we predict is the opposite of what's going to happen. And no matter who you're voting for, you're going to be really upset on Thursday morning.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm really hoping it's not a straightforward, like, you know, I don't know, Chrissy wins HOH, she puts up Morgan and Shelby and Morgan, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
because this is the first time we're ever going to see a double eviction live play out in front of us. We're going to see like the chaotic, like, you know, desperate begging for my life in the game. Like, I don't know. I'm excited for it, but I also feel like there's a large chance it's just like,
yeah, I feel like it might be a little bit of a letdown, but I'm hoping it's not. Staying optimistic, but
this season we've seen, I don't have the number right off the top of my head, but it's pretty much every single HOH has had their ally go home this season. You know, like I know Scott Target went home. So like, you know, add that piece of salt into this recipe and like we're gonna have this double eviction where even if Chrissy wins, like, well, here's what's gonna happen is Chrissy's gonna win and then Justin and Jason are gonna go home. Like that's just what's gonna happen.
Right.
And everyone's gonna be like, how the hell did that happen?
I would be like, how did that happen?
Right.
That's physically possible.
Have two people go home in one eviction. Just randomly.
Yeah. All right. So I've got one more question, one more thing I want to cover before we get to the listener questions. I want to know from everyone, who do you think is looking like they're in the best position to win the game right now? So who are you thinking, like, who's your winner pick? Melissa, we'll start with you.
I'm thinking Danielle. She has a lot of fans. A lot of people love her, like, especially on Twitter. And I think that if she gets the end, which I think it's looking pretty good, I think people are looking at Justin and Jason as more of threats. And I think that the Ballsmasters side is just getting demolished. And I think that if she gets to the end, I think she has the votes.
What about you, John?
So we have to take into account the fact that it's a final three at this point. And so I think that, honestly, Jason is probably going to take this away, because let's say Jason gets to the end with two newbies. And even if both of those newbies are really, like, really well liked, like, let's say Danielle and then even Justin, I think that those that a lot of people are going to split their votes up that way. Like, a lot of the newbie vote is going to get split by those two new people, whereas Jason has plenty of fans from before. You know what I'm saying? So I really think that Jason is in the best spot. I think that barring any crazy double eviction crap, he's going to be fine. And if he makes it to the end there, I think he has the most votes to win.
All right,
we don't have to worry about a jury. We don't have to worry about what anyone else in the house thinks about anybody.
I was laughing because I see Rob in the chat. He says, Chrissy's going to win when the Misfits fans go full Sanjaya.
Yeah. Oh no, I'm fully, listen, I've loved EOTT up until this point and I will still like it, but it's kind of like a train wreck of a season. And I think Chrissy is kind of the perfect winner, honestly.
Oh God.
No. No.
All right, Jen, how about you? Who do you think is going to take this away?
I think I'm going to agree with Melissa on this one and say Danielle, just because, like, on paper, she has the best game. And like Melissa said, she has a lot of fans. And I feel that if she gets to the end and if the fans really take into consideration, like, how everyone's game actually played out versus who's on what side, I feel like a majority should vote for Danielle, because I feel like on paper, she's had, you know, one of the better games thus far. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Danielle.
Plus, she's got that Shane vote. I know he's really campaigning for her.
Yeah, he's got America. He controls America votes, so.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So, we're going to get into listener questions now. The first one from Stephen H. If you had a time machine and could go back to be a live feed correspondent for any season, which would you choose? I will start with you, John.
Okay, so maybe this is just because we're talking about the OTT, but I think that season 6 is probably the best answer right now. That was one of the, like, loudest and craziest and most volatile seasons, and we had another situation where we had two clear opposite sides of the house, and both sides were kind of delusional in terms of who thought that America loved them and hated them. And it's like, you can go on YouTube right now and watch some of those fights, and you know, like, the fights from Big Brother 6 are the ones from now are nothing compared to Big Brother 6. Like, there's, like, just screaming and, like, throwing things. And, like, at one point, Howie said he was going to eat April's dog. You know what I mean? Like, the biggest fight we've had this season was, like, Chrissy didn't want to hug Scott. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think that Big Brother 6 is definitely the best one to have a panel of people discussing and just debriefing from all the trauma.
It's a good choice. Jen, how about you?
I think I'd go with season 7 just because, like, I feel like that's a really good cast. And I just really liked how, I don't know, I just love to be, like, a live feed correspondent for, like, all the well-known, like, all-star people and get to talk about, like, Will and Danielle and Boogie. I don't know. I just think that'd be really fun.
I would love to get Brent's take on Allison hiding in the pot.
Yes.
Like, that would be a landmark moment.
Yes.
Brent's take on Allison in general, I feel like.
Yeah, we're missing that. You guys need to do the evolution of Big Brother.
Please do.
Right? Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
I'm all love for it. All right, Melissa, how about you?
I would have to go with BB16, I think. I just think that I had the strongest opinions that season. I think every other season I've had, like, you know, pretty decently strong opinions, but that one I was literally, like, watching it, like, yelling at my computer, just being like, why aren't you saying what you need to say? Like, there were certain moments where people just weren't saying the things that they needed to say in order to get further in the game. And I had so many comments on that season and I just had the strongest opinions on it. So I just felt like, if I could have been a live feed correspondent during that time, I would have just, like, gone crazy, but in a good way, hopefully.
Yeah, good call.
What's your answer, Taryn? What's your answer?
Oh, I would have loved to podcast for BB10 or BB14. I mean, you know, anytime I get to talk about Dan Gieseling.
Of course. The legend, the man, the myth.
People wouldn't be able to cut you off either because, like, he's in the house.
Taryn, okay. The whole time.
No, I wouldn't even be able to, like, do the podcast because I'd just be, like, watching him on the feeds, like, yes, do it.
Only when he's asleep.
Do you think he's ever going to come back for a third time?
I don't think he will. I don't think he needs to.
I want him to.
Yeah.
It'd be so fun.
He can only hurt his record.
Yeah, right? Like, here's what could have happened. If Dan had won Big Brother 14, I feel like Will would have wanted to come back even more than he does now. Because he'd need to prove something again. And if Will came back, Dan would need to come back too. Dan should have
just both come back, same season. I'd be happy.
If we could get Will and Dan and Derek competing against each other, I would just like...
Just throw her in there.
We can't talk too much about ideal scenarios, though, because Brent will yell at us for being, I don't know, too hopeful.
Sorry, Brent.
What did we say about bullying?
All right, next question is from Anne. What are Team Taryn's thoughts on the accuracy of Taryn's poll compared to the large sampling size of the other polls? Well-worded question there. We'll start with you, Jen.
I mean, what is your error percentage? Like 3% or something? Didn't you tweet that earlier?
Margin of error
or whatever.
I mean, I used it incorrectly, but I knew I was using it incorrectly. But what I'm saying is, it was wrong by 3% once, and pretty much every other time it's been right. So if there's a margin that's bigger than 3%, you can pretty much guarantee that it's right. So I mean, that's just my poll. So.
I always go to yours to check. I don't trust the other ones. I'm like, I'm gonna go look at Taryn's. I feel like his is the most accurate. So
I feel like I don't trust any of them.
True.
Well, you can trust mine.
Yeah, of course. Well, of course. I meant excluding yours.
Of course.
Of course.
Oh, go ahead.
I want to talk now. Okay. If I could take off my live feed correspondent pants really quickly and put on my psychologist / statistics skirt. No, I think that the reason that maybe your poll is been more accurate lately, even though it has a smaller sample size, I don't think it's that the RHAP people are controlling this season. I think it's because the kind of person who's going to be motivated enough to listen to a podcast that's not even, the main podcast necessarily, about a season that's an online-only season, and then also participate on a poll that Taryn's putting up, which means you all have to follow him on Twitter. I think if you're that dedicated, if you're that, jacked into this season, then you're also going to be motivated to do the voting on the website and actually get your 40 votes in and actually vote 40 times for the same person, whereas, other people may not be watching that closely or whatever. So I think it's a question of motivation.
I feel like
those are a lot of caveats. If you're willing to do this, and if you watch Taryn, and if you follow Taryn.
It's a very specific Venn diagram, and I love all the people in the picture of it.
Right, but those few people, I think, are swaying this entire election.
I agree.
I mean, this entire...
election? Something else on your mind?
One day too early.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Countdown.
Next question. I don't know who this guy is. Brent Walgamont. He says, "Is Taryn crashing and burning yet?" I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
kidding. No, you're doing great. You were doing great. Don't feel bad about yourself.
Oh, that's so kind of you. next is from Kirsten McInnes. She was a great help on our Twitch stream for Mario Party 2. She modded the chat room, moderated. Great moderator. She'll be back for sure if we do it again. Heading into the double eviction, what do you think is the best scenario for good strategy or for good feeds? John, what do you think?
Oh, man. Well, speaking of caveats, I mean, this season is, in my opinion, I'm really loving the season, but this season's kind of a wash, really, for good strategy, in my opinion. You know what I mean? So I think if we take that into, if we put that little asterisk at the top of the question, I think that we honestly, the best strategy would be if we broke up one of the alliances. I like Alex, but I think if you take Alex out, then the Ball Smashers are going to kind of crumble. Whitney's already going away. So that just leaves, Shelby and Morgan, and Morgan's going to lose her sister at that point. And so those people, I feel like, are going to that's going to just fracture that alliance. And then at that point, they're going to have to go somewhere else. And also, once we get to the end of the double eviction, we're only going to have six people left, and there's only going to be three on the finale night. So the four person late night crew, they're going to realize that they're not all going to make it to the end either. So I think that's the ideal scenario for the amount of strategy that we could possibly suck out of the rest of the season is if we destroy one of the alliances.
Yeah. I think for best feeds, we do not want Chrissy going home during the double eviction. I want her to be on the block for the entire week. I want her to, you know, go crazy and be entertaining and get in fights and be sad and all that sort of stuff. I think that's going to be for entertainment factor. I don't want Chrissy going home during the double eviction.
If she burns out twice as fast, though, she might burn out twice as bright. Like, she might actually pull all her hair out and set
the
house
on fire. A full-blown breakdown. Like, I'm here for that. So
it's exciting.
Oh, you have a devious side to you. I didn't realize that.
I do.
I saw Rob in the chat. He's asking for a Big Brother Canada question. I think he wants to test you guys. So who's your favorite Big Brother Canada player, Jen?
Netta.
Yeah, I was going to say Netta too.
Yep. Sorry. Just jump on in there. But yeah, I'm very, very passionate about that one.
Yep. I'm with you on that one.
How about you, John?
I mean, I think we can all agree that the worst player of all time is Jordan Parhar.
Shade.
Honestly, it's really hard to pick with Big Brother Canada because I think that those casts, all four seasons, have been really, 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 really strong. Mm-hmm. But I would say, put on the spot, I think my favorite is probably Kevin from Big Brother Canada 3. I like his style and his personality. And I think he kind of got screwed over on the triple eviction. So
yeah, it's a good answer.
That's
like
right.
Kevin,
if you don't watch Big Brother Canada, they have triple evictions.
Yeah, Big Brother Canada is crazy. Crazy twist.
It's the cold weather. It really addles their brains.
Well, what does that say about Big Brother OTT, though?
Good. Not cold weather.
It's not cold enough.
Yeah.
Not cold here.
The only Big Brother US season in the winter was Big Brother 9, and I think that actually supports my theory.
Yeah, I was gonna say that explains it for itself.
There we go. We've explained it.
All right. So Scott, let me know if we have any other questions. In the meantime, I want to ask you guys, if you were to compare yourself to a past house guest, who would it be? Jen.
Probably Brittany Haynes, just because she's like very sassy and just like, I don't know. I don't even know how to like explain it, but she is me. Like, we are one person, same shade throwing, same all that good stuff. So I'm gonna go with her.
Yeah. I was gonna say, yeah, a combination of Brittany Haynes and Netta. Like, if you could just like combine those somehow. That's who I would say I'm most like. I've got the, you know, the ability to be sassy, but then also the ability to like hang low and just kind of like mix in with everyone and be more like low key funny. Mm-hmm. Hopefully.
Yeah. Calling yourself funny, always a good move.
Yeah. Right. I'm doing favors for myself right now.
How about you, John?
I mean, I have this view of myself and I'd like to think that I would be someone that was well liked and was just like a total, you know, strategic monstrosity. So I'd really love to say, you know, Dan Giesling, who also lives pretty close to me. But I think if I were actually in the Big Brother house, I would probably be like really, really awkward. And, you know, I would probably be like a Ronnie. I would probably go like turn out in like week three and everyone would hate me. But yeah, so that's my answer.
Maybe just a little bit of the Virgin King.
You know what? I would love, listen, if I could be the Virgin King, that's a win in my book. Like, if that's my trajectory. I mean,
he is a legend. Let's put that out there.
Oh my God. When he got voted out and then like the next recap was like, and then the Virgin King was sent back to his Virgin Kingdom. I was like, oh my God.
I was dying.
All of Bangor, Maine was just like, wait a minute.
I couldn't believe it.
All right. Next question is from Edward Morris. Who from this season would you most want to see on a regular season of Big Brother? Melissa, who do you think?
Oof, that is a tricky one. I guess I'd probably like to see Shelby or Justin. I feel like originally my answer would have been Justin, but I feel like now he's not really like, he hasn't been showing any sort of strategy. So in the beginning, I was kind of like, throw him in there, send everybody a curveball because no one knows what this guy's going to do. But I don't know. I'm kind of burning out on him. I think that I would probably want Shelby. I think that we're doing, you know, a great disservice to America to the casual viewers, by not letting them experience Shelby.
I feel like this is Shelby's element, to be honest. I feel like she's doing really well here. I don't know. Yeah. Does she do as well on a regular season?
No.
But you just want to see her.
To see her.
Yeah. Okay,
I'd
I'm
love
on board
to see
with that.
For that first week that she's there, and then, you know, when she's gone.
All right, how about you, Jen?
I'm going to go with Alex. Like, strategically thinking, I think that her game would be more catered towards BB proper versus BBOTT. And I would want to see, because I know she started out with a bunch of potential and then it kind of tapered off a little bit. So I'd love to see her on like an actual season where she can implement more of her strategy where America has less of a involvement in the season.
Good answer. How about you, John?
I have to go with Justin for similar reasons. I mean, I don't know what the casting criteria is, but I just feel like Justin, we've never seen anyone like him on the regular show. And I feel like he's so great on the live feeds. And the only real difference in terms of the show between the live feeds and, or between OTT and BB Propa is just like editing. And I feel like if you take Justin, who's amazing, and you just like edit down and like you condense that into just like this little nugget, I think it would be, he would be the most popular house guest of all time.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, his, you know, references to doing things to other, you know, his less savory things.
I mean, you see James, like, he becomes so popular with, like, just a couple pranks.
Right.
You take Justin, he's got, like, dancing, singing, acting, telling stories, everything. You just, like, throw that all into a little segment. And, like, boom, he's the most popular.
Favorite player. Yeah.
What are the odds that Justin gets asked to host the Grammys next year? And how will Jose think about, like, feel about that?
Better or worse odds than Jose, yeah.
I think he's better odds.
I'm going to go with better, too.
Although he's only online.
True.
I think my favorite Justin moment so far, beyond the pizza song, obviously, was when he just kind of like sneaks out from a conversation. I think Danielle's just talking and he just like sneaks out, does some dance moves,
awesome.
And
then,
like, yeah, just waltzes back in. Yeah, that was great. Right.
Next question from Jeremiah Yap. Danielle said that Big Brother Over the Top is one of the best seasons. To what extent do you agree with this statement, John?
You know what? I'll just go ahead and say that I would agree. I think when you say one of the best, that's like vague enough that you like, that's sure. Why not? It's been super, super entertaining. The cast has been one of the strongest, I think, that they've had in several years. You know, I'm definitely more of a strategy guy overall. So that does knock it down a little bit in my rankings. And I guess we have to see at the end, like, you know, who wins? What's the final legacy? But overall, I honestly think I've had more fun watching OTT than easily 18 and 17 and 16.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm loving it. I'm absolutely loving it. I love the cast and I love the, I mean, I'm a huge fan of the whole, like, you know, the divided house, and I love the entertainment and the strategy part of it. And I think that, like, while I'm not the hugest fan of the format, I think that the cast and everything that's been going on is totally making up for it for me. And I'm loving it.
How about you, Jen?
Yeah, I really like it a lot, except the fact that I feel like there's not as much strategy. Like, I feel like if America's control over the game was either dialed down or, like, taken back just, like, a little bit, and they could have more control over their game and not having to worry about what the heck we're going to do every week and what we're going to be voting for, I feel like I'd like it better. But I definitely like it a lot more than, like, the past three or four seasons, probably.
I do hope there's some lessons that they take away from this. Like, I hope that they, I hope they're paying attention. I hope someone at CBS, Julie, if you're listening to this right now,
J-Chin.
Please do. Like, there are some really amazing things here. You know, we all love, like, move-in night on the feeds was so fun.
You know,
like, I think we've learned that you don't need to cut to Jeff Fish every like 10 minutes. Like, this is all, we can see all of it and it's great. But then, yeah, like the America involvement thing, like, I do hope that they don't take, I hope they don't take the wrong lesson.
Yeah.
I hope we don't get another like fan favorite Battle of the Block. Like, right. I hope it's not another one of those.
I hate how they keep relying on who's going to be a have not to determine nominations. Like, it's like, come on. And also, it doesn't really matter, because a lot of the time I'm noticing that people are, the way people talk about voting for have nots, they're like, oh, this person hasn't been one for a while, or like, oh, we want to make sure that this person stays safe or that they don't have a target on their back, so let's make them a have not. So it's not been like, oh, we hate these people, we're putting them as have nots.
Right.
And, you know, so it just kind of, it kind of ruins it when they're like, well, let's see what America does. It's like, no.
I miss the food competitions. I didn't like when they padded out the episodes with them, but like, they were fun and they were like kind of low stakes. And then there is a way, if people in the house are determining who's a have and have not, that there's, you can turn that into a strategic thing. But yeah, like when the viewers are just voting on it, it's just like, oh, I yeah. like so-and-so, or right. they haven't done it yet. It's only fair. And because, like, you know, people legitimately do perform like more poorly when they aren't sleeping well and they have cold showers and food that they don't like. Like mm-hmm. there's a way that that could be strategy, but it's, we haven't tapped that potential in a long time.
Yeah.
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 Next question is from a fellow competitor, Puya. I think he's trying to sabotage you with this question. If you had to be part of an alliance from any Big Brother season, which would it be and why? John, we'll start with you.
My first response was going to be Chilltown because it's the original. But I'm going to change my, I'm not going to go away from my gut and say the Brigade, because I have a super big, like Enzo is one of my favorite players ever, and they are still to date like the most successful alliance. And so, yeah, definitely the Brigade. I feel like I could get a cool nickname.
Well, what would be your nickname in the Brigade?
Well, I need Enzo to give it to me. I can't pick my own nickname.
Side note, I definitely have the animal shirt like somewhere in my closet for Hayden.
So you can give him a nickname,
throwing
right?
that out there. I mean, I don't know if I'm like qualified, but.
And if you have, I don't have any t-shirts for Big Brother, so more qualified.
There you go. Jen, how about you?
I'm going to go season 3, Danielle Reyes and Jason Guy, just good because one. I feel like it was very, you know, low key, very well hidden. No one really had any idea until, you know, the show. I mean, obviously they did because they could watch DRs and whatnot. But while they were in the house, they had no idea. And I just love them both. And yeah, so I'm going to go with that one.
Love that alliance. Melissa, what do you think?
It's really tough because I like both of your answers, and I was kind of going to go with those answers, and then
it's okay.
I feel like I could just like hop on your train and take them, but I think that I kind of like, I mean, I like the Ball Smashers. I mean, I like, for me, I mean, to be a part of the alliance, I like, I feel like they're totally, you know, unfortunately they're all kind of going out one by one right now, but I just think that it's really cool that there's finally a group of girls who like aren't catty with each other and who are willing to work together and don't just
absolutely.
Like, you know,
yeah.
flame out immediately. I thought it was like, while it was like, you know, it's big, you know, the four of them kind of thing, I like was really into it because I thought it was cool that like finally girls can, you know, work together on something.
Absolutely. Right? There's no real reason why there hasn't been more strong, you know, female alliances in the history of the show. I think it's just been really bad luck and maybe the types of personalities CBS casts like the last
yeah.
several years.
Yeah.
So it's definitely been just like super refreshing. Like we had almost a second where there was that all female alliance in BB18, but that didn't even really last a week.
Right. So, I loved that. I was so excited about that.
I was too.
Oh, it's happening. This is it. They're the winners. Like, and then it was just like the next day it was over.
Well, even if, Wanting to be a part of the Ball Smashers is a good lead in to this next question, actually, from Robot Taren. The LFC and Jordan are getting a lot of hate this season. Are you willing to take on the heat as an LFC? John.
Bring it on.
Yeah, sure. Why not? I don't know. I mean, here's a nasty little secret is that everyone gets all kinds of hate on the internet. Like the internet has really become kind of a hateful place lately. So, you know, I guess you get more exposure, but, you know, why not? As long as no one's coming to my house or anything. I can handle a mean tweet. There is a block button on Twitter.
Apparently, Dan Giesling might be coming to your house, so you got to be careful of that.
Yeah, you live close enough.
He doesn't live that close.
Just make sure he doesn't think you're a rad floater. That's all I'm saying. How about you, Jen?
Yeah, I mean, bring it on. I don't know. Cool. I used to get in Twitter fights. It's nothing new.
Need yeah, I mean, block, if you compare yourself stuff. To Brittany, I imagine you're
yeah.
fine.
Yeah.
All right. And you too, Melissa, right? You're ready to go?
I guess I have to be. I prefer if everyone was nice, but, you know.
Yeah, everyone be nice. Everyone be nice to my people, right? Like,
yeah, please.
They're good. They're mostly good people. I mean, they didn't say I was doing a good job until Melissa did. So be nice to Melissa. Hate
Thank
on the
you.
Other two if
hey.
You want.
Perfect.
I'm kidding. Next question from Aman. Who should Jason want in his final three? Melissa, what do you think?
Well, I think Chrissy should be one of them. And I think that That's really hard because I get, yeah, I don't know if he knows that Danielle has a lot of fans, but I think that I think in his position, he might think that Danielle's a good option because she was already on the block as America's nominee. But yeah, definitely Chrissy. And I think that the fact that there's a final three this year kind of throws a wrench in everything. But if I were him, I would probably think to take Chrissy and Danielle.
You guys in agreement with that?
I would hope that he would take some other people.
Maybe. I mean, you said earlier that you guys have all said that Danielle has such a big following now, and she's definitely got that sort of underdog charm. So maybe not Danielle. Definitely, I think we all agree, Chrissy.
Yeah.
And I can't really think of a better person other than Danielle. I would say definitely not Justin.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe Whitney, because I don't know.
Yeah, maybe Whitney. Maybe Morgan. Yeah. A lot of people I notice either dislike the siblings twist, or if they really, really love one of the siblings, it's usually Alex. Like, I'm not catching a lot of Morgan love unless it's in tandem with Alex. So maybe
Plus, Morgan. Jason's opinion on Morgan is that she hasn't done anything this whole game. So
he might think that's a good choice.
Right. So if he's thinking that, oh, she hasn't done anything. So then you've got Chrissy over here and you've got Morgan over here who hasn't done anything. America's not going to choose either of them is what he might be thinking.
Right.
Yeah. All right. I really like this next question because it really throws you guys under the bus. From Jonathan Lewis, can each one of you do your best Ball Smashers impression or any other impression you have? Anyone want to volunteer?
The thing about impressions is that you can't really rate your own impressions, right? Someone else has to tell you that they're a good one. But here, let me do, like, here's my Whitney, right? You got to go, hi, I'm Whitney, Ball Smashers.
Yeah, the Ball Smashers. That's like the most, and then you have to flip it to the hair flip.
Oh yeah,
no,
yeah, you need that like.
Yeah,
oh! Yeah.
That was strange sound effect.
My favorite clip. Oh my god! Well, yeah, Rob's obviously really good. My favorite clip, just from the last few days, is after Shelby became HOH, and she had that one diary room where she was like, ha, 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 I love being HOH. Ha, ha, ha.
Her laugh is just so crazy.
I love her. Not old yet.
So
next
good.
Question from Katie Kufari. Any chance of Alex and Morgan revealing the sister twist to save themselves? I'm glad this question was asked because I think it's an interesting question. Do you think it's a good idea to for them to reveal that they're sisters? And if so, will they? Jen, what do you think?
I feel like they shouldn't, specifically now that the decision's in Jason's hand, considering he got played by a twin twist last season. I don't really think he, or not last season, but BB17, I don't feel like he'd like want them to stay in the game. Like, he's going to send them home even more, and I feel like it would just make them a bigger target than they're already perceived to be.
But. Yeah, I noticed people were advocating that they reveal that they're sisters in order to help them stay, and I just feel like that's not going to help at all. If anything, it'll hurt them.
Exactly.
Because they'll just be perceived as a bigger threat. Like, why would each of them vote each other out? It would make me want to vote them out immediately.
Right. Like, they have a blood ally. Like, you can't break that up.
Yeah.
As a viewer, I really, really hope it happens. I hope they do this, like, Hail Mary, like, last throw everything against the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah.
But you're right. There's no good reason. There's no reason. There's no scenario where anyone would hear that and be like, this is wonderful. In a regular season, like we saw this with Liz and Julia, you know, you can say that's two votes. And then like you can say that's two jury votes because we're going to vote together as siblings. But there's no jury this season. And I mean, we're only what, like 3 weeks away from the end at this point. Yeah. There's no way it'll help you.
Right.
But I hope it happens. I really want to see. Just because
I want to watch it happen. I just don't think it'll benefit them in any way, but I'm here for it.
Yeah, like even if it's just like on the way out, just like,
right,
like, oh, you know, we were sisters, but that would probably true whoever's.
And then just leave all the heat on the remaining sister. Like, sorry.
We were sisters. Bye.
There's like this tiny, tiny one out of a million chance where if they actually wanted to turn on each other, if Alex wanted to make good on her preseason claim that she'd be willing to vote her sister out, there's like a one in a million chance where I could see Alex saying, like, I'm going to tell you she's my sister and I'm going to vote her out because I want to work with you. Because then she could use that to build trust with somebody else to be like, I'm going to vote her out and she's my GD sister. Again, I think that's like a one in a million, but I think that there is some like minuscule, like, you know, way where if they wanted to turn on each other, they could maybe use that to like really cement trust. Like, I trust you over my own blood and family.
I don't know, maybe, but probably not.
Karen, that was nice, but I can tell what you really think.
I just have two more questions for you. These are my own questions. I want to know, who do you think is the most underrated player in Big Brother history? John, can you go first?
All right. So my vote is going to have to go to Kevin from, I want to say Big Brother 11. That's the one Jordan won, right? Big Brother 11.
Yeah.
I have to say Kevin. I do remember that people liked him at the time, but he's kind of gotten lost in like Big Brother history. It's already been, like 7 years since that season played. And I don't notice very many people talking about Kevin at all. I think that he really had it in the bag. He ended up going out. He got third place. So he almost made it to that final round. And I think he could have beaten either Natalie or Jordan in that situation. So I can't, it's been so long, I don't really remember, but I would say nowadays he's kind of gotten forgotten. And I think he deserves to be ranked amongst the greats.
It's a good answer. Melissa, what do you think?
I'm not sure if nowadays he's considered to be underrated, but Eric Stein, I think that like by the casual fans and especially me when I was watching that season, I didn't see it. I didn't think, you know, this guy is like a legend. And I feel like he got totally screwed over by the America's player thing. That was just horrible. And I wish that we could see him play again where he could actually just like play a real true game. And I think that every time he comes on the podcast and every time he talks and every time I hear him, like his opinions on the season, I think that he's like always spot on. And I think that his analysis is really great. And so I feel like he needs another shot.
Yeah, definitely. America like tried to screw him over at every step of the way. And the fact that he made it as far as he did, like imagine a season where he didn't have to vote against his own interests.
Yeah.
You guys need totally to come to New York. You can talk to him in person. What about you, Jen? What do you think?
I think I'm going to go with Jason Guy again, even though I already mentioned him. But I just feel like if he would have made it to the final two, he would have won regardless if it would have been against Danielle or Lisa. And I just feel like everyone gives Danielle the credit for that season and no one ever gives Jason the credit. So giving him the credit. So we'll
Jason
go with him.
Guy. Jason Guy is my guy. I love Jason Guy.
I do too.
I mean, boneheaded move, taking out Amy over Lisa, but
it's true.
Yeah.
Still awesome. Yeah. He Alex Kidwell in the chat, the OG Virgin King. Jason Guy.
Yes. That's right. Oh my God.
I forgot about that.
All right. Final question. I want to know, what is your favorite thing about Big Brother? What is it about Big Brother that you just really love? John, can you start?
All right. Once again, I'm starting the chat. I would say that, you know, in terms of how I rank it, I would say I definitely say strategy over like necessarily the drama or the spectacle of it. But honestly, I think it's fun how it all comes together. Big Brother is this magical convergence of highbrow and lowbrow where you have really complicated, like advanced level strategy going on and like people doing statistical analyses, both inside and outside the house. And you have this, you know, as a psychologist or someone trained as a psychologist, you have this very complex human experiment going on. And so, but at the same time, like, especially during the normal show, the Proppa, like you get that intercut with like, here, let's go into Uncle Austin's fart trailer. And it's like, the way that those mesh, you know, it's unlike anything else that we see on TV. You know, obviously it's very similar to Survivor, but Survivor oftentimes gets like a little bit more of this this edit where it's like there's some gravitas to what's going on.
Yeah.
And it's a great way to spend a summer.
Yeah. I totally agree. That's exactly what I think about the fact that there's like I like the strategy along with the entertainment value. And I think that like all the fights and stuff and all that goes on that's like, you know, just considered entertainment, it actually affects the strategy. And I love seeing how it can affect the strategy. Because if you get in a giant blow up fight, I'm watching it not because I like watching people fighting. I'm watching it because I'm excited to see how it's going to change the game and like who goes with who and who changes this and that. And it's just so exciting to like how the game can change on just like an instant.
Yeah.
And you're watching it play out live.
Yeah, basically they both already said it, but definitely strategy. I just love like even just like the interactions between people and how people can come up with like different plans and different scenarios that they can do like under all this pressure and under like the quickest turnaround, like you were saying, Melissa, with the fights and stuff. And then you have to hurry up and try to think of like your next move and what to do. I just love watching all that kind of stuff.
All right. Great answers, all of you. I have no idea how these voters are going to choose. I'm already depressed that one of you is not going to be here for the next one. So, sorry to end it on a downer note.
One of you will die.
Yeah, we won't see one of you again.
Yeah. time to go to a different program. I'll be exiting host mode on my robotic brain. But before I do that, I do need to tell you that voting will be live on the show page at rapazoo.com. As soon as this podcast finishes, you just need to refresh the page. The link will be live. You can vote. You can rate these people on a scale of pissed to friendship. Give them all friendship. Just say, you know, make it a three-way tie for all friendship. It's great.
That's not how it works.
Sure it is.
I forgot I had the devious team.
Well, I'm just trying to think. Maybe we can ask them to vote Taryn out. Is there a way that...
No. Playing the game, guys. Voting will be open for 24 hours. And tomorrow night, I will be live with Rob. We'll be announcing the results for Brent's team and Alex's team. We'll be seeing who's going to be leaving from their teams. And then on Friday, we'll be announcing the results to my team. I will try not to cry when we do that. But... Seriously, guys, you were really great. I was nervous to do this. I was, you know, like, what if these guys suck and they make me look bad? You know, who knows? But you totally carried it for me. Thank you so much. And thank you to everyone listening for listening. Can I get your Twitter handles, starting with Melissa?
My Twitter handle is It's Melissa, and Melissa is spelled with three A's. I need to start tweeting on it though. I kind of have nothing on it. So, I'll get that going again.
Yes, maybe you should say what you plan on your, on making your, like your alt Reddit account username.
Oh yeah. I'm going to make an alt Reddit account because, I'm not going to pull a Ken Bone and use my real account. I've been like looking at all of the posts and everything, but I'm like too scared to post on it. So I kind of want to just like start over with a new one. And that's my plan. But yeah.
All right. So you'll introduce yourself soon.
Yeah, I'll introduce myself.
John, how about you? What's your Twitter?
So I've actually been on Twitter so long that my Twitter handle is my name. It's at John Krause, JonKrause. That's been mine for almost a decade now. And you know what? Screw it. My Reddit handle is StrongBob25. I have nothing to hide. I think the weirdest thing I do on Reddit is that I frequently post on forwards from grandma, which is a really funny anyway. So Brave you guys can follow me there too.
Bold move.
Yeah.
Okay. I need to ask you something about your Twitter, actually, because you have your name as your Twitter handle, but you're like the name on the Twitter is like Dr. Harry Henderson, MD.
Yeah. So
is that like a Friends reference that I'm not getting?
Oh my God. No, there. Okay. I think I was in Atlanta. I was at the aquarium. It was like the 4th of July this year. And just this thing popped into my head. And it's a very, very oblique reference to a movie called Harry and the Hendersons, which is like a movie about Bigfoot. But it just came into my head and I was like, I'd had a few beers, I'll be honest. And I was like, you know what the funniest thing in the world would be is if my handle was Harry Henderson, MD. And like, I just went with it and I've gotten, I guess, some positive feedback. It's not really that funny. It's not like I've never even seen Harry and the Hendersons. I just think Harry Henderson, MD is a funny. I make up funny names all the time. Like just in my head, like what would be a funny character name, like in a TV show or something? And that's just one of them. So vote for me and you'll get more of that nonsense.
And more Outer Limits references from me. Jen, what is your Twitter handle?
It is at JRenee_BB.
All right. And yeah. do you tweet about Big Brother all often?
On that account, yes. All right, try account. To. Yeah.
Yeah, you have a separate sports account, right, too?
Yeah, sports and other life issues and things. Try to keep them separate. I saw
sports when I looked.
Oh, it's mainly sports. But
I mean, when I see sports, I just gloss over everything else, to be fair. So.
Yep.
All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. We will see you tomorrow night. I'll be live with Rob. As I said, we're going to get to see some results. It'll be a lot of fun. Thank you for joining us. See ya.
Peace out.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.